102 losses in 2021. Grounded a second. 2 years removed from losing 100. The Rangers have won the pennant.
For the first time since 2011, the Rangers are going to the World Series after having six consecutive losing seasons.
The Texas Rangers are in the World Series, baby. Let's go. And the Astros are watching from home. That's what I'm talking about.
Trashtros, baby.
The Trashtros. They're sitting at home.
Get them out of here.
Dude, I cannot believe. Okay, all right, actually, let's just get into the podcast. Let's go. Welcome to the At Leisure Podcast. This is a show about sports, video games, movies, and just basically the things we do with our leisure time. We got our other Ranger baseball experts here in Brady and Gage once again. Guys, the Rangers play in the World Series tomorrow. How about that? How about that?
Dude, since 2011, man. I've waited since freshman year of high school. Let's freaking go.
Yeah, dude, it's a long time coming, baby.
Long time.
We're looking good.
And it's one of those things that's like, if you'd have told me that at the beginning of the season, I don't think I'd have believed you.
Yeah, I was shocked. My hopes was maybe wild card. Here we are sitting tomorrow in the World Series. So
exactly. Especially with all these injuries that happened. Golly, what a season, man. We already talked about it, but what a season.
I would have said, how much money did we spend at the deadline?
Yeah.
And then he got injured, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I really want to talk about the ALCS the most, obviously, because that is the meat of this, the Astros, Rangers, for all the marbles kind of thing. Well, almost all the marbles. It feels like all the marbles to me. But before we do that, we can just jump real quick into, like, the sweep of the Orioles. So the Rangers beat all these teams that – back-to-back teams that had 100-win seasons. So I say we just jump into some, like, high-level overview of that series before we just really dive in game by game for the Astros-Rangers series. So to start off, I'll just say that I thought our starting pitchers were phenomenal. They – were the reason we won those games, even though we had some good offense at times.
My starting pitching was, I mean, Montgomery and Valdi, I mean, they carried us quite a ways up through the ALCS, you know what I mean? So, majority of the games that, I mean, pretty much every game that they pitched, it was watching something that, you know, I didn't want to get off the edge of my seat for, just because I'm a fan of somebody wheeling and dealing, so I absolutely loved it.
Dude, yeah, it was great to see. Even Heaney and Dunning gave us quality innings in the first game when we didn't have our two studs out there. So honestly, I think that set the tone for it all. That was just as big as Nathan Eovaldi and Jordan Montgomery just whooping butt out there.
And I don't want to go game by game with this one, but in game one, when Jonah threw out Henderson trying to steal a second in the ninth inning.
Tying run at first, winning run at the plate. There goes Henderson. Throw from Heim. He got him. Jonah Heim throws out Gunnar Henderson.
What a throw.
And it was not particularly close.
I think Henderson may have hesitated a bit on his way to second, and that may have cost him.
Down by one. I think I was literally screaming at the TV. I was so hyped. You know, it was awesome. And I feel like it changed the whole tone of the series. You know, we're playing at their place and it shuts the crowd up. The idea of a comeback, it just feels impossible now. That was the biggest play so far of the postseason for the Rangers, I think, was just Heim throwing him out at second there.
I don't know about the biggest so far, but it was definitely a series-changing moment right there.
Yeah, they just continued to snowball from where we just left off of the race, you know? It's like the momentum just kept carrying up and up through that game one. Again, talking about that throw down to second, it was a botched, you know, hit and run that Aaron Hicks missed. And I'll give props to Gunnar Henderson for not calling him out on live TV and having the media figure that out later on. But the cards were just in our favor, and baseball rolled our direction. Baseball gods gave us that day. And, of course, just like you, I was screaming straight to the TV. I was so pumped.
And it wasn't even close. And it makes sense now because you can see him looking back at home plate like, what the heck just happened? You know, everyone was looking at it like, what just happened? You know, except for Heim, who was just, like, screaming because he just made such a big play. But that pretty much won us game one, and then we get into game two, and it was over quick because, Mitch Garver finally got to play, and he hit a grand slam early in that game. And I was like, there we go. I should have been manager. Fochi's made a few moves in this postseason to really shut me up on that, but in this case, I was feeling really good about myself.
Yeah, I mean, to have 9-2 by the third inning, that's I was like, man, this game over. I guess done. You know, we just had so much momentum going through it, and I was a little, I'm not lying, I was a little iffy on the back end with them getting a little closer towards the end. You know, but in the end, 11-8, I think the ending score was. So still came out with a win. It never really got to the point to where I was really scared, you know, or worried. But I didn't like the whole 8 runs given up with the big lead. But you know. But yeah, like you said, early on, we set the tone.
Yeah, I think going up 5-2 was big. But I think we were all like, no, I'm not comfortable with this, you know. Too many blown games. So that Garver home run, just it was just like, okay, maybe I am fine watching this game. And sure enough, we needed all of those runs. But
yeah,
we came out with the win. That was a huge turning point.
And we'll say that's the second postseason grand slam in Rangers history. And I'm just going to brag here. I was at the first one. I was live in person at the first one. Nelson Cruz, walk-off extra inning grand slam, 2010 against the Detroit Tigers. So it was fantastic to watch. But that was the second one. Mitch Garver hit the second one. And it was just almost as good as the first one, like being there. It was just fantastic to see and watch. And I loved every bit of it.
Guess what, Gage? I was there too.
Were you really? Oh, I never knew that.
Well, yeah.
I want that another time then.
It was incredible. Yeah. No, it was the
Cruz.
Yeah, it shook the stadium. People were still chanting. Like, the stadium was still shaking after the game. When we were left in the parking lot, we were just like, wow. But we almost had, well, anyways, that was a great time. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
The fact that we're in the World Series again just feels like all those old memories are just kind of like resurfacing of like
exactly
how close we were. But we'll get to that. I think also in the series, they were so afraid of Seager. They set the record for walking.
Walks.
Walks in a series. I was like, goodness gracious. I can't imagine. I don't know if I would have deployed that strategy. I'd have let him beat us first and then start walking him. But
yeah, five that set the record, right?
Five in one game, yeah.
Five in one game, yeah. Uh-huh. And like the next game, he was just like a even more free swinger than what he already is on the first pitch. And, of course, throughout the entire bat, he's like, dude, I just want to hit, man. Give me a chance.
And they were not giving him a chance.
No.
Yeah, how many times was he walked? 9 times in the series?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
It was a crazy number.
6 total at-bats because of how many times he was walked. And, like, game 2, I think most players had, like, 5 at-bats in that game. So
yeah, he had
Garver literally had 6 at-bats in
six
game
at-bats.
2.
6 at-bats. Yep.
And Corey Seager had 6 through the whole series.
Yeah, and if you're just watching and you don't know, it's because walks don't count as an at-bat. Yep. So he would come up to the plate, but he wouldn't get registered as an at-bat because they would just walk him. So.
He went 0-for-1.
And then in game 3, when Eovaldi pitched so well, he went to the dugout and the crowd was chanting his name. And he comes back out and gives him a wave. And it gave me chills, man. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was nice to see Eovaldi get out there and get the ovation. I mean, if I was there, I'd probably try to start it just because of how great of a game he had. It looked like the vintage, reminds me of the vintage Eovaldi in the extra inning Red Sox-Dodgers game where he just took off, man. Even though he did sadly lose that one, but it was just an impeccable, you know, relief outing from him. So it was kind of the same scenario for me. Just like, man, it's artwork, I should say, to watch in the making.
He has a knack for it, and when you watch him pitch, he's always just grunting, and you can just see how much effort he's putting
Best grunter in the game, baby.
Dude, I normally get annoyed at people grunting, but it's like, this dude, you can tell he's putting everything he's got into this game.
Yep. Him and Scherzer, man. Two loudest grunters I've heard on the TV.
Key to the World Series right them. There.
Yeah. I love they got a mic on the mound, and it's just you hear,
everything you got.
It's funny, too, that you mentioned that game, Gage, because he hates that game is how he's remembered because they lost, you know?
Yep,
like he pitched so well and they lost. And he says every time, he's like, I hate that that's the game everyone remembers me by because we lost the game. He said, I'd rather give up 5 runs and win.
And win.
That'd be the game they remember me by.
Yep.
So, you know, he's pitching so well and he always pitches well in the playoffs. And it's like, if he can just get if people can remember him as the Rangers ace that won them a World Series, that's what he deserves, you know?
I
hope that happens, obviously, but I can't wait. I can't wait to see him pitch, man. I hope hope he continues his dominance.
Yeah, I mean, going for the Cy Young before he got injured, you know?
Yeah, he gets game one, so he's set up to really just quiet the Diamondbacks right away. So
cross our fingers, baby. Cross our fingers.
That's right.
Anything else y'all want to say before we put the Orioles to bed and start talking about the demise of the Houston Astros?
Yep, I'll add two things, and you guys can probably elaborate on them. One is Evan Carter, and two is the bullpen. Okay, and I understand that the bullpen gave up a little bit here and there, but the bullpen in the postseason versus the regular season, which we knew coming in, starting with the Rays and then the Orioles, and then, of course, the Astros we'll talk about in a second. I mean, man, they gave me some, you know, heart-stopping moments where I'm like, holy cow, this is about to go south real fast. And then somehow you get out of it. So you guys can elaborate more, but I wanted to bring those two up real quick. Is I think those two through that series did help out a lot too.
You talked about in game two where they gave up the 8 runs.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I think I remember. Didn't LeClerc give up a home run to make it 8?
Yeah, the 3-run, yeah.
And it's like, we are relying so heavily on LeClerc. We're making him pitch every single game, basically. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, because he's the only guy we trust.
And more than one inning, too.
And more than one inning. Sometimes we're asking him, we'll get to that, obviously, but we're asking him to get more than one out at a time, more than 3 outs at a time, which is just, it's kind of hard to ask of your closer,
tough.
Especially when you're having him pitch back to back to back to back to back.
It's so tough.
And on Carter, I think it's crazy how we keep moving him in the batting order. You know, it's like he's batting 9 in the Rays series, does great. So Boach is like, all right, let's move him up a little bit, get him in 5th. He balls out against the Orioles, and then we're about to get to it in the Astros series. They move him to 3rd. You know, and so this guy is 21 years old, barely 21, and he is out here putting on a show. So that's something really fun. That's been really fun, and it's fun to look forward to. You know.
And playing baseball for a long time, which Brett and Brady, of course, you guys know as well. To have that type of eye, especially those type of pitches that come at him, is unreal at 21 to me. Like, I know those guys that came up at like 19, 20, of course, have a good eye as well. But man, him, you can just tell there's a difference whenever he takes in at bat and his approach. You know, I think it's like he's almost a veteran already in that sense. You know, he knows exactly to like a millimeter, it seems like sometimes, you know, when that put that baseball on the tracker on the TV, it's like right on the edge and it's a ball and he's shaking his head like, nope, it's not a strike. And the umpire called it a strike. I'm like, he's actually correct. Holy cow. Like this dude's freaking, this guy's good, man. Like it just
robotic almost.
It just shocks me, man, how good he is at knowing the zone.
Yeah. I will say he got a little more shaky against the Astros.
Sure,
but
sure.
I would love for him to get a little more aggressive, but it's hard to ask that of a guy who's just not naturally – like he just bats the way he bats.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't complain because he's been really good. But, yeah, let's just dive into this Astros series. And man, what a series it was. One of the more emotional roller coasters I've ever been on in sports. I think it actually made me physically ill. Like that's part of why this podcast is so late is because I literally did not feel good enough to podcast. We're getting this the night before they play the first World Series game. Let's just dive into it game by game. So let's just jump into game one. So the pitching matchup here was Justin Verlander versus Jordan Montgomery. And both of these starting pitchers did really good. They both went 7 innings. Actually, I think Verlander might have only gone 6. And that kind of was a key to the series, too, is whichever starter went longer, it seemed like that was the team that was going to win. But for the Rangers, the first third of the game was when Evan Carter, speak of the guy, in the second inning, legs out a double that should have been a single. But Tucker is, like, nonchalant about getting to the ball. So, you know, you're like, oh, nice, he got a single. And then he just books it for second. And you're like, oh. And then he's so fast, he gets there. And so you're like, okay, wow, we're cooking. This is the first, you know, threat in the game. And then Heim comes up and promptly just hits one to center field. And you're like, okay, that moves Carter over to third. But Carter then just books it home. And it's like they just jumped on him in a sense. Like, they weren't ready for how fast Carter was. And he went – he stole second, basically, and then almost stole home, basically. And so that was the first run of the whole series. And I thought, oh, man, what a good tone to set.
Yeah, on the base running there, I think he's just got an IQ, man. I don't even want to be a doctor and everything, but he's got a high IQ in general. Whenever he was rounding first, and they said it, and I noticed it right before they said it, is that he deeped Tucker in right field when he's rounding the bag. He kind of slowed up a little bit. And as Justin looked at him, right? He's expecting him to slow down, so he kind of nonchalantly gets to the ball. As soon as Carter notices that, actually, he just immediately takes off. So if you guys at home, if you go back and watch the full game, you can see this process happen in real time, and it's just such a high IQ play. It's unreal because it's so simultaneous. And like you said, he pretty much stole second from Tucker. Just by deking him for, like, I kid you not, maybe a millisecond.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a great job of stealing that one. And then because of that, Jonah's single, not hit super hard. He's just got the wheels to take it. I mean, if he doesn't do that, who knows how the game goes.
Exactly. So then the next kind of big moment was bases loaded in the fourth inning for the Astros, and they're about to get their first run, and Monty strikes out Maldonado on a sick breaking ball high in the zone. And gets out of that inning. And that's just kind of a theme, too, throughout the series, is the Ranger pitchers getting out of a bases-loaded jam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they do that so many times, and this kind of started it. And then, right after that, with that kind of, like, you kind of feel like there's momentum between the defense and the offense. You know, it's like if the defense makes a play like that, where basically it's just the pitcher in this case, strikes him out with the bases loaded, you're like, whew. We got out of that with no runs. And then the next inning, Tavares comes up and hits a home run to right field. You know, and it's like he almost fed off of that defensive clutch moment by Monty. And so we go up 2-0 right there. And Verlander has to come out the game the next inning.
Dude, you definitely feed off it. When you got the bases loaded, you're kind of like, okay, can we get out of this one run given up? To get out of that with zero runs, that's game changing. And you all feel like that's just an energy boost to one side and an absolute demoralizer to the other side. I would like to say a moment maybe before that was also very crucial, just crucial for the Astros, is in the second inning after Jonah had hit in Carter, we got the bases loaded as well with Marcus Semien coming up. And he ends up getting out. And so they kind of had that chance, but they did not hit a home run like Leody did right here to kind of push on the momentum there.
Yeah, I was about to say the same exact thing. Is it talking about Semien? Of course, you guys know, and I'm going to say it probably multiple times in this podcast, but listen, if you're at home, go ahead and look at the stats. Every time Marcus Semien does not get a hit, we only score 4 or less runs. Okay, it's only happened twice, and it was an Astros series, actually. It happened twice. It's where Young carried us for one night, and Marcus didn't get a hit. We had 5 runs, and there's another one where we scored 3 in the next game, and he got a hit. It's only 2 times that I've noticed that. So if Marcus gets a hit, we're scoring 5+. He's our tone setter for me. And I've been saying it this whole time. And so going back to the whole bases loaded thing, he's been in, you know, 162 games. He's been, you know, the workhorse for us. He's been there. He's a veteran on this team. He's been so valuable for us. And so, you know, his batting average, I think, is like 148 right now, postseason. So, for me, and I know we'll talk about this in the World Series, but for me, he's going to have to pick it up just a notch, right?
Yeah, a lot of pop-ups. I was going to say it. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll just say it now, but there were so many pop-ups in this series. It was insane how many pop-ups. Both sides, people were popping up left and right. I was just like, I don't know if I've ever watched 7 baseball games in a row where I've watched just a pop-up per inning.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it's crazy.
For baseball, sit to the wall and being caught, right?
Yeah, but like it felt track. Like a pop. I mean, it's still a pop-up.
No, sure.
You know, it was like
the warning track. Right? Uh-huh. I mean, that was a lot that was hitting on either side the warning track and just caught.
I think it's just a product of modern baseball too, where you just drop that back shoulder and you try to hit a home run. And if you're not hitting a home run, it's going to the warning track and they're catching it.
Yeah.
All right, in game one, too, the next big moment I was wanting to highlight is here comes Chapman in the 8th.
Oh,
you know, and that's always just the scary situation for the Rangers. He's either on or he's not, and he immediately walks Altuve with no outs. And then Bregman hits one of those fly balls we're talking about that goes right to the warning track. But it's in that weird crease on the Astros, like, left field area that
next
I don't know why,
Crawford
but the ball
boxes.
Just juts. Yeah. Yep, next to the Crawford boxes. That just jets out like that. And Carter, you could tell he's expecting the wall, but he doesn't find it. And he still makes a great catch. Mm-hmm. Well, Altuve wasn't expecting that catch. He rounds second. And then he comes back and, you know, has to go back to first. Semien says, hey, you didn't touch second on the way back. He touches the base. And then there's a review, and it turns out Altuve rounded second, but then didn't touch second on his way back to first. And that's illegal, so he's out at second. And it totally changed the whole situation of the game.
Now a call on Chapman with a tying run coming to the plate. Fly ball, left center field. Back goes low, onto the track, at the wall. Carter with a leap, and a catch! Back to first goes Altuve. Evan Carter to the deepest part of left center field with a leaping grab.
They're going to look at this to see if Altuve retouches second base. His foot was across the bag, but it was his other foot on it. I'm telling you, I think he's out. Based on that view.
The call on the field's overturned. The runner is out on appeal. Texas will retain their challenge.
So a successful appeal from the Rangers, and it's a double play.
He went in front of the bag and completely misstepped it. And so he was out. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I think if he did not miss first base, I think something more tragic happens in that inning for us. It's just the way I felt about it. And maybe it's because I felt about Chapman before that game, you know. But I think that was the momentum push and helper. Jose's mistake to get Chapman out of the inning. Unscathed, my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the inning started off classic Chapman inning. He walks someone. It's like, is he going to find it? Is he going to give up a home run? What's about to happen? I thought he gave up a home run. Carter makes fantastic play. Yeah. And it's just everyone in the stadium thought he had a home run, including self. Altuve probably thought he did too. But it was just, I don't know. I agree with you, Gage. If he doesn't get that mental error there, I think Yordan might have came and made us pay.
And I want to brag about Simeon a little bit because we've kind of dogged him some, but like he noticed that,
sure.
You know, like he was watching, and I don't know if anyone else noticed other than him. Obviously, the umpires didn't notice
your
it.
Boy Josh Young did. That's all I'm pointing.
Okay,
he was pointing to say, so your boy from Tech noticed it immediately. I think he told Simeon to touch the bag, so it might have been Josh Young that knew.
It looked like Simeon was pretty confident that he didn't touch it.
Yeah.
Like he was looking at the umpire.
Let's just give our infield the credit there.
Our infield was paying attention. It's what a weird thing to pay attention to. I don't know if I would have paid attention to it. I think maybe you catch it if you're watching Altuve, but you know, normally I don't feel like, I don't know. I guess I never played infield. I don't know if you're always watching the runners, but I feel like you're not.
It would make sense for Josh to have caught it actually, because as the third baseman there, you're like, where is the runner? Where do I need to be?
Mm-hmm.
And so it would make sense if he was watching Altuve because he needed to know if he needed to go cut the ball, if he needed to be on his bag. And turns out Altuve doesn't step on the base. But I don't know. I think it's just a veteran move. I think it was Marcus that saw it as well.
Regardless, they get out of that hit, and then Leclerc closes the game once again. We're always relying on Leclerc to close the game. Mm-hmm. And the Rangers blanked the Astros in the first game, which – I did not have that on my bingo card.
No.
That's crazy.
No. I was, again, Monty had been doing great up until this point. I knew it was going to be a great, you know, battle, Verlander versus Monty. I was just skeptical. I was like, man, Verlander, you know, classic vintage postseason Verlander. I was like, man, this would be tough. Of course, we got, you know, best offense in the AL, right? So I was like, we got to do something. It was a fantastic game to watch all the way around.
2-0, though.
Sure.
Not the score I would have expected.
No.
You know, and it's like Verlander pitched pretty well. I mean, only giving up 2 runs. You'd expect him to win the game with the Houston Astros offense. But they lost.
Sure
and,
did.
And they started this – they lost at home. And that just kind of, you know, you could keep that in the back of your mind because if you weren't watching, that is key to this whole series. So let's move to game two, also in Minute Maid Park, which is with the Astros. All right, so the pitching matchup for this game was Eovaldi versus Framber. And the whole conversation so far in this playoffs has been like, do the road teams actually have an advantage because they get to bat first? And it feels like if you score first, your chances of winning just are tremendous compared to when you're having to bat second and, you know, follow up on a team that's already scored on you. So right out the bat, Simeon gets a hit, and we know Gage's rule.
That's right.
So the Rangers just jump on him early. It's all kind of comes to a head when Grossman, he's batting third this game. Mm-hmm. It's a little dribbler to the pitcher, Framber, and he throws it into the stands instead of getting the out at first.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of – I was nervous because I've seen this call earlier in the year. I thought they might call Grossman out for running outside of the base path, because they did it to us, I think it was against the Astros as well, earlier in the season. And so I was nervous about that. It wasn't, but sometimes they just like to call stuff, you know. But when that happened, we got, was it just Semien that scored and Grossman went to second and Seager to third? Dude, that was big, because not only do we score there, but it takes us out of double play. Like, they can't turn a double play now. And it just puts so much pressure to start the game on Framber there.
Yeah, and I know I messaged you guys, I think, immediately. As soon as Semien got the first hit of the game, I was like, all right, here we go. Like, we'll get 5-plus runs, Julian. Which we did get 5. But, yeah, I mean, that was a great start. And what you said, Brett, is that, you know, it's like batting first. You get that first run, you can breathe a little bit. You know, it's like, you know, such a big moment. And so once you get that first chip off your shoulder and you can start just chipping away a little bit, of course, that's a big inning, especially Framber. I mean, Framber's been really good in the postseason. And so I know they had another great pitcher to start, but I mean, we were just four right off the bat, the first inning.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Adolis gets his first RBI, which starts a trend. Thank goodness. He has a beautiful opposite field hit there.
He does
score.
He didn't try to be too big, so I did love that. And that was a great thing to see. But yeah, I mean, great start.
And then our other run was Low hits an oppo single to left field. Yes. And that's able to score Grossman right there. So that was the first four to start the game. It was a great start to the game.
Yeah, and I will say this real quick, is that I think this another person, which we'll continue to talk about, is Low starting to figure it out. I know you got was a home run in one of these games. I forgot which one it was. When we discuss it in a minute, we'll figure it out. But that's somebody that, you know, it was great to see in that moment. Like, okay, maybe he's starting to trend back upwards.
Yeah, he's actually, I think, still hit a little better than Semien has. Mm-hmm. You know, he's had some moments.
Sure.
But we go up 4-0, and then Alvarez homers, which is also another theme of this series. Alvarez is a monster, and we'll just talk about him more and more as we go. But he hits a home run, and then Heim answers with a home run of his own, which is pretty cool to see. I'm a big Heim fan, and I think he's done a great job. We'll just say it here. I think he's done a great job. He calls the pitches, you know, and so I think he's done a great job behind the plate, as he's done all year. But it's just crazy to think about the pressure of calling the pitches in a playoff game and doing it every single night. Mm-hmm. He catches every single night. So to also have the offense is just it's just icing on the cake.
Yeah, if you guys noticed that they talked a lot about Maldonado, like about his catching and his like expertise back there, but I was like, doesn't hit as good as Heim, so what's the big deal about, you know what I mean?
And I don't think he's as good as Heim at all. No.
They have to bring in
Smoltz, man, he can go sit out the World Series. I don't want to hear him anymore. I'm sick of that broadcast team on Fox. It was so Houston cleaning. It was so 100%. Outrageous.
100%.
The crazy thing is, though, if you like go look at Houston Twitter or something, they thought the same thing. So that guy, he just
really
just burns both bridges. He's just sitting on an island. No one will.
I don't know. I'm sure I'm sure it's just hard to please both fan bases, but man,
you need to sound excited when stuff happens. And like sometimes we would do something big and he's just like, and Garcia hits a home run. And it's like, what is that? What is that garbage? We're in playoff baseball. It could change the course of the game.
Well, and it's like Gage was talking about too. It just felt like he was talking about the Astros side of things all the time. Like, boy, the Astros are so good. They've been here 7 times. And then even when we're up, they're talking about – he was talking about Framber the whole time. Like, do you not see Framber getting smashed right now? Like, why are we talking about how good he is?
Yeah.
So,
like, did you not
know just
win against undefeated against two of the top – are they the top two winningest teams in the AL? I mean,
I think Brady, you said it. They had 2 talking points on the Rangers. Everything else was Astros.
Yeah.
Did you know they lost the first place AL West champ at the end of the season? And then they had to fly to Tampa Bay. And then they had to fly to, and it's like, dude, I don't care. You told me this 3 times in one game. Like,
broken record.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hear it
7 more times because – that's all I know.
But anyways, then we get into the bottom of the 5th, and the Astros have the bases loaded, nobody out. Eovaldi is in the highest pressure situation that he's been in all postseason. And they talk about how he seems to turn it on when there are runners in scoring position. Like, he's always pitching well, but, you know, he'll give up a base runner or two. But when that guy gets in scoring position, it seems like he's in another gear. And so with the bases loaded, they pinch hit Diaz for Maldonado, and he strikes him out. And then Altuve comes up to the plate, and he strikes him out. And then he rolls Bregman over, and they get out of the inning. And it was just, like, incredible. To give up zero, like, when the bases are loaded, no outs, you're just hoping you only give up one run. But to give up zero runs, again, another momentum swing.
And I'll say this, Brett, on top of that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure all those pitches were to the outside part of the plate. And I guarantee you that they were trying to be too big in the moment with bases loaded, nobody out, one out, maybe even two outs. Like, I feel like they might have tried to do something more than, like, because they talk about Bregman only wanting pitches on the middle third, like middle and inner third of the plate, right? And that pitcher's outside. He's trying to pull the baseball. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like maybe that moment,
yeah.
I mean, it's a great, going back to Heim, you know, him and Heim being on the same page, knowing where to go and knowing what to throw against these guys. But I'm pretty sure all three of those pitches, of those outs with bases loaded, were on the outside part of the plate. And those guys are probably either trying to be too big at the moment or, you know, sticking in their ways and not going with what Eovaldi was giving them, right? Because I really feel like, going back to Adolis there, having that approach and going to the opposite part of the field, I guarantee you if one of those guys did that, they scored at least a couple runs in that inning, right? Yeah. So I think that's a huge plus to them. And the last thing I'll say about it is maybe even in the back of Eovaldi's head, he was thinking about Red Sox Dodgers. He's like, this isn't going down like I happened back then, man. Like, I'm about to shove right here. When I do shove, I'm going to get so pumped up. So maybe that's in the back of his head or something. I don't know. I'll have to ask him that, you know, if I ever meet him.
I'm gonna go on a limb and say that what was in the back of his head was my third baseman just made an error to load the bases. And when you have zero outs and that happens,
pick him up.
It's really hard to like clear that out of your mind and be like, all right, one batter at a time. And Eovaldi just... it was a masterclass of pitching. Those first two guys are naturally pretty aggressive batters. So to see them swinging at some stuff didn't surprise me, but he made Bregman a little uncomfortable. And I think you might be right there that Bregman was, he was like, man, I really have to score these guys because we didn't score a run in the first game. So I think he might've been a little, which they already had a run, but he was like,
sure.
It's slim picking on you.
It's 5-1.
Yeah, it's already down by quite a few. Yep.
And when Bregman rolls over, he hits it right to third base. Yep. You know, so Josh gets redemption, throws him out at first, and you're like, okay, that error didn't hurt us because of Eovaldi's amazing.
Yeah. Men, the baseball will always find you. That's right.
Yeah.
And then Alvarez hits another homer, and that's pretty much. We get into the bullpen. He hits that homer on Chapman, and we were talking about it. He reaches out and pokes that thing. Like, that's – you can't even blame Chapman on this one. It's not a strike. It's not even really close to the strike zone. And Alvarez just hits it off of out of the ballpark. It's just crazy.
And it was
the guy's so good.
I think it was a slider, too, was it not? Slider outside part of the plate.
So it's breaking away from it.
Slider
yes.
outside,
yeah.
And he pulls a home run.
Pulls it for – I mean, come on, man. That's unreal. That's unreal.
It's crazy. So good on Chapman getting out of that inning after that. Mm-hmm. And then a Leclerc comes in and saves it again.
Yep.
And so here we are up 2-0 after taking two in the Houston ballpark. I was honestly feeling really good about this. We were talking about like wanting to go to a game, and we're like, we bought game 5 tickets, and we're like, do we want them to sweep or do we want them to win?
I said absolutely sweep. I wasn't there with you.
I'm not going to lie. I was like, I really would love to see him clinch at home. So
be like,
I don't want him to.
Be like, I don't want money back. I don't care.
But then.
I'd like to say, before we keep going, Chapman actually didn't get out of the inning. And this becomes a big theme in the series here. Leclerc comes in to finish.
Yeah. With what went out?
He gets
an
out, and then he has to go three more outs. So he gets the last out of the eighth, sits down, and comes back in for the ninth. So.
That's a great point.
Pitch save.
That's a great point. Setting it up for the next few games.
Out, yeah. Good point. All right. And then we come home to Arlington for game 3. And this matchup is Max Scherzer versus Javier, or they like to nickname him the Reptile. And how are y'all feeling about Scherzer?
I can't say I was feeling great. I know Scherzer's got the dog in him, but, I mean, when you haven't pitched that long, it's – It's a big moment.
I was riding high. I'm like, we're about to get prime Scherzer, baby. He's fought his way back from an injury that should have kept him out for the entire season and the postseason, and he's ready to go. And then we get into the game, and Scherzer did start pretty good in his first half inning. He didn't even let a base runner get on. But also, Javier pitched well, and then we get to the second inning, and things kind of go off the rails. Alvarez gets hit. There's a few wild pitches, a few base hits sprinkled in, and the Astros get 3 runs. If you want to dive into that inning at all.
I mean, I'll say first, before I'll let Brady go from there, but first I'll say I was 50-50 about Scherzer, but seeing that first inning, I was like, okay, maybe he's – you know, we're seeing the vintage Scherzer. I was like half 50 vintage or half 50, I don't know. So that pitch in a while. We're talking about a second ago. Tough outing after that first inning, the first half inning for Scherzer. And giving up, you know, 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk and 1 home run. So, I mean, but you knew that after that. Once he went out, I was like, okay, I understood, you know, take him out, save him for the seventh, game 7 if it happens. And, you know, maybe vintage will come out at that point. You know, he's a veteran. He's been there, done that. And plus he faced the Astros, you know, in the 2019 series and was just a dog, you know. So you know that he's got that in him. And so, Brady, I'll let you take it from there.
It's tough to start an inning hitting a batter. Like, I think it's tough to walk someone. But to come in and, like, your first batter, you just hit him. I think it's pretty tough to come back from that. And he tried, but walking Tucker, I think, was the biggest mistake of the inning. Like, that dude's been so bad.
He was batting under 100 at that
point. Yeah, you got to throw him strikes. And so it just kind of got him going. And as funny as it is, because this game ends up being high scoring, like, the defense in this game was at a premium.
Mm-hmm. Like,
it was just good hits. And so we were doing what we could. The way we got out of the inning was Martin Maldonado hits a ball into the outfield. We try to throw a guy out at home. Jonah comes up and cuts it early and throws him out at second. And at the time, that was a huge play because Scherzer was struggling to find it. They were just getting hit after hit, just little by little. And that just kind of helped him get out of the inning there.
Yeah, and that wild pitch to start it all, I mean, to score the run, it was going back and really seeing it in slow motion. It was, you know, Haim got there and he was out and over it. It just hit the meaty part of his glove and took a bad hop. And of course, that's the way baseball goes sometimes, right? So, but while the wild pitch, going back to the mental side of hitting him, you know, hitting that batter, I think you're right, Brady. Is that sticks with you more mentally than the walk does, because you know, you feel like you're, I don't want to say, it's more of us, I don't have my A game if I hit somebody versus like I miss 4 pitches outside the zone with a walk, right? And maybe that's just me. But if I hit somebody, like, I feel like, hey, I might not have it today.
Yeah, so Scherzer was off, and then in the next inning, Altuve hits a home run. And at the same time, Javier is just no-hitting us through 4 innings. But then our boy Josh, in the 5th inning, comes through, hits a 2-run homer to keep us in the game. And in the next inning, Tavares has a sweet rob of Alvarez.
Yordan Alvarez, the batter. He's been hit by a pitch, scored a run.
Hits it in the air to center. Tavares is back. He's at the wall. He leaps. And he brought it back. Highway robbery.
Leody Tavares says to everyone, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. He takes a home run away from Yordan Alvarez and keeps it a 5-2 game. What a play.
It was an awesome shot. They had like a sky view camera to see him just jump and just snatch it right above the wall in center field. Perfectly timed jump. It was one of the better defensive plays. Like Brady said, this game was full of good defensive plays.
That pitch that he hits, it just goes back to how dominant of an athlete, just how dominant of a batter Alvarez is. That pitch was like in the right-hand batter's box. Like, it was way outside of the strike zone, and he's still hits it enough distance to be a home run to dead center. The dude's just a beast. So it was an all-around just amazing play from the hit to the catch.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to have him on our team, but, you know, he's on the losing team. That's okay. But, no, I mean, robbing a home run like that, like, for me, being an outfielder, Brett, you know as well, like, I mean, that's like hitting a home run almost when you do something like that. It's like that type of mentality, that type of hype.
You're literally swinging the score. Yeah. Like, there's not many runs. It's not like in football where you can have a pick six, right. You know, but it kind of feels like that because you literally take a run away from the opponent.
Yeah. I mean, I was being that out there. Like, I was just so hyped. Man, that was just like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen right there. Like, it was, especially that Scott Cam, like talking about earlier. That's just the coolest view ever of him doing that. And going back to Josh. Being a rookie, doing what he's doing, it was phenomenal. Phenomenal to see what he did against Christian Javier, since nobody else touched him, pretty much, you know. And him just come out and swing like that, it was awesome to see. And hopefully it was, in my mind, it was more like, okay, now we're getting a little something going maybe, you know. Hey, Josh got to him. That means he's figured it out. He's going to go tell the guys in the dugout, and we're about to start rolling, right? Like we're the first two games.
Yeah, Nathaniel Lowe got it started there, though. I feel like his little poke through the other side of the infield, as the pitcher, you're kind of like, okay, that was a cheap hit. And maybe you get more aggressive or you try to overcompensate there because you're like, I'm on today. And so it was nice to see Josh make him pay for maybe being a little too aggressive in the strike zone there.
Well, Bloopin' and Blast will do it to you.
Yeah, and we did it. They did it again in the seventh inning, a little bloop and a blast. And Josh Jung hit another home run. He tried to keep us in it. He had four of our five runs. And also, give a shout out to Cody Bradford coming in, our rookie who made a few starts. And we talked about it in the last episode. Kind of got the raw end of the deal when his first start was against the Braves. But he pitched well in this game. And our bullpen was only exposed when we put in Will Smith and John Gray. And so, you know, props to him. I would imagine we see him in the World Series at some point, but I kind of hope we don't because that means our starters are going the distance, you know, longer.
I will say this, Brett, real quick. Will Smith, it says he's only got 0.1 innings pitched during that game. Gave up no runs. Gave up a walk. Yeah, Stratton and John Gray were the ones that gave up the runs. So, yeah, I mean, he came in for 1.1 innings, Bradford, and shoved. And then Stratton and John Gray, two runs and one run, both with one inning pitched. So Will Smith just came in there and, I mean, gave him no runs. So I'm with you, though. Will Smith does scare me. I think more so than Aroldis, though. I will say that.
Yeah, I mean, those are the guys that we just don't trust as much. And they came in and showed why we don't trust them as much.
He still didn't look good. He gave up a hit and walked someone in one inning. So you were kind of right still. And then for John Gray, watching that again, it just kind of, I don't really feel like he pitched that bad. They had weak contact off him, and it was just not his day. Like, it just looked like everything he was throwing, he was executing. They just got lucky on him. Sometimes it goes that way.
Yeah, especially coming out of the bullpen and coming off an injury. So I think I actually agree with you on that, Brady. Like, coming out of the bullpen, a starter, for one, and two, and you just came back off an injury, just like Scherzer did, right? So I actually agree with you on that.
Regardless, this was the first loss of the postseason for the Rangers. Mm-hmm. Crazy, 8-5. It took this long for our bullpen to get exposed, and that's pretty impressive, honestly. So, you know, I'm still feeling pretty good, and I'm like, yeah, we're going to get to at least see a game 5. And then game 4 happens, and the matchup was Heaney versus Arcady. Oof.
Urquidy.
Yeah. I don't
know. It's a hard name to pronounce.
We're butchering his name. Yeah. Yeah. So right off the bat, Altuve gets a double, and things go bad for Heaney in a bad way. He gives up 3 runs and only makes it 2 outs into the game before he gets pulled for Dunning. And then Dunning comes in, and in a bases loaded situation, doesn't give up a run. Keeps it 3-0, and hypothetically, it felt like we were still in the game, even though that was such a bad start. Adolis comes in, and he hits a home run and does what he does and gets the crowd excited, and then Josh gets an RBI, and then the next inning, Seager hits a bomb, and we've got it tied 3-3. But then Dunning comes out, and Bradford comes in, and Bradford does not quite have the same stuff in this second inning and gives up a home run to Abreu to break the game open 7-3. The only other time really it was close is the Rangers had some base runners, first and second, no one out in the fifth. But then Seager hits a line drive to first,
and the first baseman catches it and then tags out Semien diving back to first, trying to, you know, not get caught, not tagging. And they tag his glove. I've never seen it before, but they tag. He's got his glove in his back pocket and the fingers are flapping out. And the only thing he touches is the glove, but it counts. And so he's out. And that promising inning turns, just dies on a double play there.
I've never understood why people don't wear their batting gloves when they're on bases. Like, sticking them in your back pocket, I feel like it's just, you don't imagine that happening. But, like, I always liked having batting gloves on when I was running bases because you slide and you don't scrape your hand so bad. And it's just like,
but it ruins your gloves, man.
Does he have the oven
You can buy new gloves. Those guys have a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Well, they give them to him. I mean, come on. Does he use the oven mitt or no? I don't think he does. Does he?
I don't think he
does. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, because he does.
Semien?
If he does, then of course he'll put him in the back pocket. Then I understand that.
Yeah, I guess I have no idea.
Anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's crazy. I've never seen that before. It hits like one finger of the batting glove and he's out, you know?
In the back pocket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew it wasn't our night when that happened. I was like, okay, now we're not coming back today.
Yeah, the overarching.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, the overarching thing that I'll just say, just if you want to guys wrap this up, one up, but it was bad. 10-3, and they tied the series, and I'm sitting there at the end of the game, like, this might not be good. You know, that's kind of my feeling.
You start getting that uneasy feeling.
I did. Yeah. I sure did. Especially, like, all right, hey, we've won two away. Great. But, you know, we go back to their place at the end of this whole thing for two games. So this is no bueno.
Yep. And then we get to game five. Things come to a head here. Pitching matchup this time around, as we got Montgomery back on the mound, feeling good about that. And then they have
Verlander back.
Verlander back.
Verlander, that's right. Verlander back. Yep. So pretty enticing pitching matchup. Monty really dealt in this game. He pitched really well, but he gives up a homer to Bregman in the first inning. And we say it, if you score first, it feels like more often than not you win the game. So that was a bummer. And I guess we'll just say it. Me and Brady were at this game. So
yeah.
We're living and dying with every pitch. And the atmosphere at the ballpark was great, I thought. It took a while for it to fill up, but I think that was partly because it was a 5 o'clock game. Mm-hmm. Or no, it was a 4 o'clock game. So, you know, you had to wait for people to get out of work and stuff.
Lots of traffic trying to get there.
Lots of traffic, yeah. So it took a while to fill up, but once it was full, it's pretty cool atmosphere. And, you know, it sucks because it's like 30% of it is Astro fans, but so you don't get the full effect of a full stadium all cheering for one team, but it also creates just like a lot of, there's just so much emotion in the stadium, no matter what's happening. And so it was really cool. So the stadium kind of dies when Bregman hits that home run, but we get out of the inning there. And then our first real goof of defense, Semien, I can't remember who it was, but they hit into a double play and Seager starts an easy double play and Semien drops the ball on the transfer. We challenge it. It was obvious that he just never had possession of the ball. So they're in an opportunity to score another run. Runners on first and third with two outs and Altuve up to bat. And Altuve drops a bunt down. Hine picks it up, throws him out at first. What do y'all think? Why on earth did he bunt there?
no clue. That dude.
Yeah,
it's game three in our stadium and he's been just wearing us out.
Tearing it up.
I guess just going back to whenever Montgomery pitched the first time, he didn't have a ton of success. So he was like, maybe I can steal something like this early in the game. Mm-hmm. But that was just a...
bailed us out.
Yeah. Thank you, Altuve. Yeah. You could have hit another home run and blown it open there.
Yeah. Maybe he just liked how far... I don't know how far back Young was playing or anything with left... Well, I mean, Monty's not going to be able to get to that, I don't think, fast enough, as quick as Altuve runs to throw him out. I mean, maybe. I could be wrong.
Hey, don't forget his diving catch in the Rays series.
You're right. I'm just trying to think through that, because it's hard to think through something like that, because I'm thinking, like, when I saw that, I was like, what are you doing?
Thank you. We were in the stadium. We were all like, thank you for doing that. I'm team never bunt. I've said it on the podcast, I believe. I'll say it many times. I'm team never bunt. Especially in the pros. In high school, you can bunt. In college, even, you can bunt. But in the pros, these are all professional hitters. Unless you got a guy who just can't hit in the pros and is, for some reason, up to bat.
You know? Yeah, Coach Kent Murphy.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Never bunt. Hit dingers.
That's
baby.
Right. Hit dingers only.
Yeah, Lowe hits a home run, tie the game up. So we're 1-1. I think in the fifth inning, the Astros have a situation where they've got the bases loaded with two outs, and they hit a ball right down the middle, and Semien makes an amazing diving stop, picks it up, throws him out at first, keeps the game tied. And it's like, okay, he made up for that error. And then
that happened. And it goes back to like whenever we made a great defensive play and Leody hits a home run, we make a great defensive play right there to keep it 1-0 right there. And then Lowe comes out and hits the home run in the bottom of the fifth. Oh. I got you out of order there, but it just kind of shows that defense translates to offense there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then in the sixth, our boy Adolis comes up to bat and hits a go-ahead home run, 3-run home run. To make it 4-2.
Adolis Garcia 0-2, ground out and a fly out.
Swings and hits one high and deep into left field. McCormick is back at the wall. It is gone! Gone, Adolis Garcia, who slams his bat down midway between home and first. Now starts to take his trot. A 3-run Jimmy Jack here for Adolis Garcia to put Texas in front.
And Adolis able to turn on that 95-mile-an-hour pitch.
The place goes wild. It is so loud. Our ears are ringing. Man, it was so cool. And he pimped that home run. It took him so long to get around the bases, but it was awesome. It was so cool. And you know, at that point, I'm believing. I'm like, okay, we're winning this thing. I don't know. What do you think, Brady?
In the moment, I mean, I couldn't hear a thing. I was screaming as loud as I could. My wife, she's new to baseball. She was going crazy, and she knows what's going on at this point, but it was a great moment for me. That's baseball makes me emotional sometimes, and I was like, this is my
mountaintop.
Yeah, my high right here. Like Nelson Cruz Grand Slam, like this is the game I got to go to.
Yeah, you guys are giving me chills just talking about it, just because you know what that feeling, even though you're not there, you know what that feels like, right? Plus having the love for the game, so just talking about that just give me chills. So that's awesome that you guys got to see that. And yes, he did pimp the heck out of that. He freaking watched it. I think, you know, maybe watched the guy catch it, and he slammed the bat down and just kind of trotted around the bases, and we got to the home plate kind of slowed down and then stomped on home plate, right? Like he was like, I think he was saying like my house, or I don't know what he was saying exactly, but he might have been saying I'm him. I don't know. Everybody says that nowadays. So you know, but yeah, he definitely pimped the heck out of that thing. So, but it's a big moment, right? I mean, it's big.
It's huge.
Game five, tied series, and so. You know, the whole thing was a couple of years ago was, you know, let the kids play was a huge thing. So it was like, you know, bring more emotion into it when Fernando Tatis was and Bryce Harper were talking about on commercials, like let the kids play. That was a big commercial thing, right? So it was kind of an emotional thing, and you know, and so it's a big moment. And so the way that the game's transformed, I mean, go off, right?
Yeah, and then so, you know, we're winning. It comes to the eighth inning. We bring in Chapman again. Chapman actually pitched pretty good. He was supposed to get three outs. He strikes out two guys, and then Tucker gets a little bloop hit. And then they pull Chapman and bring in Leclerc. And at the time, I'm like, I get it a little bit. They were like, okay, Chapman can't have anyone on base. But he was pitching good enough. He struck out Abreu, you know? It's like he was feeling it. But I think that they were going to pinch hit McCormick. And McCormick has the best – I can't remember what it was, but like the best – slugging percentage against lefties. And so they wanted Leclerc to come in, and it was like, okay, they're just doing a chess match here. And so Leclerc comes in, he gets the final out of the eighth inning there. And we come up to bat, Carter gets on base, and then Abreu is pitching, and he hits Garcia. He hits him like below the shoulder, arm area. Elbow pad, okay, that area.
It's the rib area. Garcia's lucky enough to get his arm
And so Garcia takes, you know, he thinks this is intentional, and there's been beef all season, especially with Maldonado,
because I think Maldonado told Abreu to hit Garcia because they didn't want to deal with Garcia. Garcia's been tearing him up. They are better off having runners on first and second anyways. They weren't going to pitch to him. So they might as well hit him and send a message. And, man, they were making up stuff on the broadcast, like trying to defend, like, oh, that wasn't on purpose. But, I mean, I'll put a link in the description below. There's a lot of smarter people than me talking about how this was an intentional hit. So, anyways, that just – Adolis turns around, and he gets in the face of Maldonado, and they start scuffling, and then the bench is clear, and the bullpen comes in, and both teams are just at home plate, just, you know, pretending like they want to fight, you know, as you do, getting in each other's faces.
Making sure someone's holding the back before they act like they're going to punch someone.
Hey, don't mess with Texas, Brett.
Man, the stadium was crazy at that point, too. You've got everybody yelling at everyone. Mm-hmm. Dusty Baker comes out of the dugout. They throw Abreu out, and then they throw Adolis out, and then they throw Dusty Baker out. And the place is going crazy. Everyone's screaming and yelling at each other. And it takes the umpires 20 to 25 minutes to figure out what the heck to do.
Yep.
Genius by Dusty Baker. He even sits down in the dugout and refuses to leave, you know, and it's like, well, they force him out eventually. And so the whole time Leclerc is just sitting on the bench. He's not getting warm. He's kind of out of the game really for 25 minutes. And this is not something that he's used to doing really at all. We still have runners on first and second with no outs. And we just can't get those guys across. We strike out in the ninth inning. They have runners on first and second with no outs. Oh, wait, no. I don't remember quite the situation, but Altuve comes up and hits a home run that puts them ahead 5-4. Leclerc pulls himself together and gets out of that inning. And then we're up to bat. We get runners on first and second with no outs. And then Semien hits a line drive to shortstop. Seager hits a bomb to the warning track in center field. And when that happened, I thought, okay, we're going to have a go-ahead home run by Seager to win this game. But they catch it, and then Carter strikes out. And I left the stadium more defeated. It felt like I got punched in the face. And that was the end of game five.
It was a brutal loss. They bring in – sorry, I left you hanging there on the ninth inning there. But they did a pinch hitter in Yandy Diaz, and he – I think he hit a little single just right through the infield. And then they pinch hit John Singleton at the bottom of the lineup. First action, I don't know how long, but that dude works a full count, and he ends up getting a walk right there. And when we walked him, I was like, I know Diaz just got a hit, but that's crucial. Like, you can't walk this guy to bring up Altuve. And as much as I hate the guy, Altuve's known for this moment. Like, this is what he does, you know, big moment. Altuve's going to – I feel like he's going to hit a home run. It's not even he's going to hit a single or double. He's going to hit a home run if he has the chance here. And it was just made me want to throw up there, not going to lie.
It was the worst.
Yeah, and going back to what Brett was saying is that, for one, genius by Dusty Baker. It's kind of like, you know, ice a kicker in football, right? Except for you ice your pitcher for 20 to 25 minutes. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, whenever I was watching, again, you guys were at the stadium, but watching it at home, I remember the broadcasters, and you guys can correct me at home if I'm wrong, but I remember them saying that it was like the second time that they're trying to justify, right? And I know the Rangers fans are going to say that it's intentional. Astros fans will say it's not. But I know the broadcasters were at least saying, hey, they tried to justify that him hitting Adolis was not, you know, intentional, and that he'd only got out of the stretch like the second time this year. And so that's one reason why it was going to be wild. And you can see Maldonado set up away, and he runs it in. So it's not intentional. And then also the third thing they mentioned was, you know, why would you do it in this type of setting when you're down by two runs? Like, what's the point of having an extra guy on the base? But going to Brett's point is that why would you mess with him when he just did what he did a few innings ago? If you're going to work around him, we're trying to work a walk, and he's going to get on base. Like, your objective is just try to get him to fish, right? You might as well just hit him anyways, okay? And so both sides have points, but it just felt like at home that they're really pushing for, hey, the Astros are in the right here. Adolis is in the wrong, and so that's that, right? I will say that Abreu is the only one that got suspended and not Adolis. So, I mean, maybe there's, you know.
They know something. They know something, yeah. Right? They know yeah. something. They're not
yeah,
idiots.
Yeah, if it was Adolis' fault, why did Abreu get suspended and not Adolis, right? And so, moving forward, you got something with the Jose Altuve thing. You know, he didn't have a clicker on his chest this time to hit a, you know, a home run. Yeah.
But as far as we know, sure, yeah. I mean, he could still sure, be cheating, yeah. but.
No, we don't do signs anymore. That's what they're yeah, catching.
Right. Yeah, but, true. Yeah. But, I mean, I'll just go for Eddie at home. As soon as he hit that, I was talking to these two guys earlier before we started this podcast at home. Like, as soon as he hit that three-run home run and we get zero in the bottom of the ninth, I literally put my head down, literally inside of my shirt, and felt like a little kid. Like, something was just taken from me. Like I was about to just, I mean, just sit there and probably ball my eyes out. Maybe, yeah. Right? I sat there, kid you not, with my head down in my shirt through three quarters of the podcast with A-Rod, David Ortiz, and Derek Jeter, right? Just sitting there, just sulking. Like, I'm not usually a sore loser, but when it comes to the Rangers, I'm a sore loser. Like, I'm terrible. And so that's whenever Maldonado, of course, comes up and is talking to Big Poppy. And he said, you know, don't wake up the Astros, right? I was like, and then, of course, here the next couple games, we'll see. Don't wake up Adolis Garcia. That's what you shouldn't have done. Yeah.
Dang straight.
Yep.
All right, let's jump into game six. And the pitching matchup was, once again, I believe, Eovaldi versus Framber, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first inning, Nate looks a little shaky. Gives up an RBI to Alvarez, which, you know, happens because Alvarez is so good, but... You know, it's just they score first, and I'm starting to think, oh, no. I mean, coming into this game, I don't know how you guys felt, but I was feeling very beat down. I was feeling like we're down 3-2. We're not going to win this series. We're going to lose to the Astros. And I was thinking things like I would have rather have lost in the last round than have gone to this round and lost to the Astros.
Yeah, anything would have been better. I was really beat down. I was in the same boat as you. Obviously, I still had my afternoon blocked off, but – I was like, man, this – I can't handle losing to the Astros here. Just the worst way to go out.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm sure you guys do too, but I have a ton of friends who are Astros friends, are fans. So, you know, I'm never going to live it down. You know, it's battle for a silver boot. Like, it's – like, you know, we're creating a big rivalry out of this. And it already felt like one just because you're in Texas. Like, there's only two teams in Texas, you know. And, yeah, I was the same way, devastated. 3-2, going to their place, and maybe they might flip the switch on the whole away winning team. So, but same.
They score first.
Yeah, and score first, right?
And I'm just like, oh. But Nate gets out of the inning with only giving up the one run, and then immediately Mitch Garver makes an appearance in the series and hits a home run. He needs the first batter up in the second inning to tie it. And it kind of gives me life and hope again. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. I'm in it, you know, like, let's do this. Things are kind of back and forth of nothing happening for a while, both pitchers pitching pretty well. And then Heim hits a two-run homer in the fourth to pull us ahead 3-1. And it's one where Justin Tucker, I keep calling him Justin.
Kyle Tucker.
It's Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker has a chance to rob it and just misses it.
When Jonah hit that, first of all, I did not think it had the distance to go all the way. And sure enough, it just barely squeaks out, and Kyle Tucker goes back to the fence and reaches up. He came down, and he looked all, like, defeated, and I felt like it was the same thing that Julio Rodriguez did earlier this season where, you know, he acts like he didn't catch it, and then he's like, oh, hey, by the way, look at what I have, and we didn't score, and inning over. But no, it just went right over.
Got over.
Yeah.
They said it was only a home run in two other ballparks, or this one and in one other ballpark.
Yeah, Yankee Stadium. Yeah. I mean, I thought the same thing you guys did. I thought he was going to come down with it. The way he went down, just kind of paused for a moment. I was like, okay, this guy's caught it. You know, great. Still 1-1. And then after, like, I know he didn't catch it, I was screaming. I was like, you know, I was screaming to the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 3-1. We get into the fifth.
and Nathan Eovaldi hits Maldonado to add to all the drama. Maldonado definitely doesn't try to get out of the way.
No, it looked like he leaned into it. I mean, that is the ideal way to get hit by a pitch. It's out in front. You have your little elbow protector on, and you just give it a little graze there. And trust me, if
definitely
we were
wasn't at the ribs.
If we were going to hit Maldonado, we would be throwing at him. Like, that dude, yeah, I can't stand him.
So, and then DeBon gets a sack fly in the sixth to make it 3-2. We get some action on the bases in the seventh inning, but Neris for the Astros gets out of a jam.
That dude's celebration cracked me up. Like, obviously, I was a little frustrated, but at the same time, he kind of put a smile on my face because I was like, what is this guy doing? He, like, goes to the ground and starts slamming it, and I just thought he was about to start grinding on the ground, and then he spikes the base. But he does, like, five different celebrations. Like, you do one, like, yeah, get your team excited. The second one, it's like, what are you doing? After that, it's like, dude,
you are not helping, you're not helping the team.
You don't like, look cool anymore. You look pretty dumb like, right now.
He's allowed to do that type of celebration, but, yeah, Dolis can't watch a baseball for a second. You know what I mean?
Hey, no. They've been there. They've done that, okay?
Sure. I'm just saying, you know?
No, I'm messing with you.
Yeah, but hey, going just for a second, going after Eovaldi, which I guess maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but the last game and this game, a guy I want to talk about is Spores. Josh Spores pitching, 1.2 innings in the last game, and then one inning, a shutout baseball, 2.2 coming out of bullpen. Yeah. Of course, we had trouble bullpen all year, and he's been good for us. Like, I've not felt
in the postseason. Yeah, he's been amazing.
Yeah, and I have not felt like
I honestly feel best with
exactly
him. Yeah, all the other
he's, exactly
he's our
he
best
comes
reliever
up
at the moment.
Right, he comes up. I feel okay. Like, hey, we're gonna be just fine. Right. So I just wanted to speak on him for a second, just because he's done such a great job.
Yeah, and we haven't really mentioned him because there's been nothing negative to say.
Exactly.
You know. So
exactly.
And he pitches in those innings where it's like, if nothing happens, you're like, all right, we move to the next big moment in the game. But it's like, thank goodness nothing
exactly
happened, you know. So
I could be wrong, but I don't know if he's given up a run in the playoffs up to this moment.
I think he has 0 ERA. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we might move him into the closer role in the future.
I think he gives up one in the next game, but we'll get there. Sorry.
But then, all right, we were in the seventh, and then Garver gets another extra base hit to bring in a run in the seventh. So we're up 4-2.
And guess who that's off of? That's off of the same guy that hit Garcia. That's off Abreu.
Abreu.
Yeah.
I love it because going into this, that he hadn't given up a run in 32 innings, and we rough him up every time he comes out. You know, we get a run on him. I think his ERA at the end is like 5, you know. So the best way to get revenge is to just make the guy look bad. And that's what we're about to do. Not him, but we're about to make the Astros look bad. We. Adolis is about to make the Astros look bad because it is 7-2. Top of the ninth, Adolis gets to the plate with the bases loaded. And after looking terrible all night, they are just raining booze down on him.
4 strikeouts.
Every second they get. 4 strikeouts, not even looking like he's close to. He's swinging as hard as he can and having no luck. I mean, he just looks lost out there, honestly. And it looks like the boos are getting to him. I mean, it's a heavy boo. Mm-hmm. It's you could feel it through the TV, the hate. And here he comes, bases loaded.
You can just see he's trying to hit it over the train tracks. He's trying to make a statement here and just really coming out of himself.
Stanek swung one. Is thrilled on a line. Left field and gone! Adolis Garcia makes his statement, and the Rangers have their sights set on game 7.
Well, it wasn't the train tracks, but it was special.
Third straight game with a home run for Adolis Garcia. The Rangers have broken it open. They lead 9-2.
And just hits a – I don't know why they threw him a strike. He was swinging at balls all night. Yeah. I don't understand why they threw him a strike. But they just throw him a meatball, and he takes that thing into the left field stands, and the game gets out of hand. We win. It's an amazing way to end the game, too. We've got all the momentum back. Garcia pounding his chest. He doesn't do quite the celebration he did before, but it's awesome.
Yeah, he's still, washed.
He's so big and strong. Honestly, yeah. I hit that home run. I snap that bat on my knee. I start pounding my chest. I throw it into the crowd. I'm pimping the heck out of that. I was very impressed that he just pretty calmly for his standard, just, you know, tosses the bat and goes around the bases.
Yeah, and you round home plate and pull a Kirk Cousins. You like that? You like that? No?
I'm probably saying a lot more than that.
Yeah. No, no doubt, man. And go back to what Brett said. Is like, he looked uncomfortable all night, and the boos were definitely heavy. And then cheering every time he got a strike and struck out. And he had the sombrero. So, I mean, for him to do that, it was like he was – like, that moment was meant for him. Him coming up in the ninth to do that, that's higher power for me. That's like, that's redemption, you know what I mean? And so absolutely, that was just an amazing feeling. We were already winning, but that was like a cherry on top. And I was screaming to the TV. I'll say this now on podcast. I was saying some words I wouldn't say in front of my mom. So, you know, I was.
Or on the podcast, yeah, right, Gage? Podcast.
That's correct. Yeah. I was saying some words towards Astros and Astro fans in general, you know, giving them the bird. Just, I was going off. It was not good.
That is a huge moment. I mean, we only had a 3-run lead at that time. And, I mean, we've seen it before.
After blowing it the game before.
Yeah, and yeah. Altuve gets in a bat at bat next inning. I was not comfortable. And then Adolis does that, and I'm like, oh, man, you're not coming back from this now.
Kind of smushed the idea of a comeback this time.
Which we needed desperately.
We did, and we didn't have to use the clerk. We got to use Heaney, and he got out in like 3 pitches.
Yeah, he came out and looked good again, like he had all year against them. So it was beautiful to see.
It's a great way to end Game 6. And that brings us to Game 7, where Scherzer is back on the mound, and they bring the reptile back out.
Javier.
For Game 7, which, you know, is the best words in baseball. All right, so, and then we're going into this Game 7, and Boch has never lost a Game 7, and Dusty has never won one. So that was a good stat for us to see.
Have me feeling good before this last game. Yeah. And with all the away teams winning every single game up to here, as like, you know what? It's destiny.
Maybe this is it. Yeah, I'm with you. It's funny how Game 6 just totally flipped my perception of what was about to happen.
The momentum rolling into that Game 7, right? That was really good for me. Yeah. Like, you know, you had that such, you know, 3 games in a row at home. You're just like, well, this is it, you know? And then you get to Game 6 and it's like, okay, here we go, you know?
You tie it after hitting a grand. Yeah. You tie the series after hitting a grand slam to end the game.
That's what I was going to say. The grand slam, as much as it helped win that game, I feel like it kind of slingshot us into this game.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, the second batter, Corey Seager, crushes a baseball. Just absolutely demolishes it into like the third.
The atmosphere.
Killed it. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yes. And like the Minute Maid Park goes quiet. And Corey Seager, steel face, never show emotion guy, screams and runs to, you know, he does the home run trot and gives the high five to the third base coach and then steps on home plate and just screams some more. And I'm like, I've never seen him show emotion like that. We're going to win this game.
Dude, I think Adolis brought it out of him. Yeah. Didn't he hit the home run? He ran around. He still didn't like make any, like, I don't think he had yelled yet. And then he went over.
Oh, dude, he, as I say, when he hit the home run, he made noise. I heard it, yes. And then he gave a huge high five to the third base coach. Like,
right.
Like,
but then he went over to Adolis. I mean,
it was super.
It
was still more emotion than I've ever seen him.
Awesome. Yeah. He just started yelling at the dugout and it was like, okay, okay.
Game 7 Seager, baby.
Yeah.
I know. It was cool. It was really cool to see. And then Carter gets on base and then Garcia pimps a single like it's a home run, but gets the RBI because Carter stole second. And then he makes up for it because then he gets on base and steals second too. And we're just running on Maldonado and it's awesome. I love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course, upset him at first for not getting to double, you know, getting to second base. But I mean, one is the Crawford boxes and two, I mean, he
probably wasn't going to get to second anyways. I mean, he watched the way that ball bounced off the
I mean, it's like a shortened green monster out there, you know.
But if that had been like five feet higher, it'd have been a home run, and I cannot imagine how it would have felt for Garcia to hit a grand slam and then immediately in his first at bat hit a home run. It would have been so cool. He thought he did.
Dude, that would have been just the best thing.
But you know, it still turned out pretty good. Spoiler alert. Garver gets another RBI, so we go up 3-0 in the first inning. And then that runs Javier out of the game. Like, they had to take him out and put in other guys. And the Astros get one run back in the first, and then in the third, Bregman hits a solo home run, so it's 3-2. The game's feeling like, okay, it's going to go, you know, it's going to be a battle to the end. And then Garcia actually does hit a home run in the third and makes it 4-2. Right after Bregman's, or I guess
right before Bregman,
he might have hit it in the fourth. That's right. And then the fourth inning comes, and we score four in the fourth to make it 8-2. Huge. Garcia gets two RBIs there,
but also it was a huge hit by Evan Carter. He's been a little bit quiet this series, like not quiet, but he hadn't been what he was against the Rays and what he was against the Orioles.
Yep,
and he comes up with. Josh, I guess it was the bases loaded, I think, and he just hits a big two-run double right there, and it was just right on the line. That was big, also.
It was, and going up 8-2. I mean, I was like, don't get too excited, don't get too excited, don't get too excited.
Yeah, we still have a bullpen to go through.
There's still so much game left, but you know, I'm feeling really good, and I'm scared because I'm feeling good. But then the game is still going good. We get into the seventh inning, and Lowe hits a home run over Kyle Tucker again, by the way, to make it 10-3. And I'm just like, holy cow, we're going to do it. We're going to beat the Astros and go to the World Series. And then to make it even better, the ninth inning comes up, and Garcia hits another home run, a solo home run, to make it 11-3.
That eighth inning.
I think that was in the eighth inning.
Yeah, sixth and eighth inning.
Yeah, but yeah, that was awesome.
And he just got off on my innings at some point.
Yeah, that was his second home run of the game, literally inches away from his third home run of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Dude was feeling it. You could tell that he had shortened his swing a bit. You know, he stopped trying to crush every ball.
Yeah.
And he just has that natural power that, oh, dude, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like we were talking about earlier, him changing his approach. I mean, going from trying to just crush the absolute, you know, more anger swing, you know, in the first four strikeouts, you know, more anger in his swing. And then all of a sudden he's like, okay, I'm not really helping my team out here like I should be. I'm the four-hole hitter of the Texas Rangers. I'm in the ALCS, and I'm over here, you know, getting a sombrero. And now he changes his approach, and look what he does. I mean, he had gone off the end of that game and then to start this game, and he just kept going with it. So I hope it carries. I really do. Yeah. Really do. And
his last six at bats, he was 5-for-6 with 9 RBIs.
Oh,
and
my
three
gosh.
Home runs.
Yeah. Yeah. Maldonado, you spoke wrong. You woke up Adolis, not the Astros, buddy. So
absolutely right. That's right. I don't want to pat myself on the back, but that is what Adolis Garcia is in a nutshell. And it's pretty much what I said in our previous podcast is like, sometimes this dude goes on a streak where he will carry your team.
Yep.
And he carried this team the last three games. He put them on his back.
Yep.
And, you know, we talk about how this team doesn't show a lot of emotion, but Garcia shows emotion. He feels like the heartbeat of our team right now. And it was so strong there at the end. He won the ALCS MVP, and it wasn't even close. I mean, he set the record for most RBIs in an ALCS. That's crazy. Adolis Garcia set the record.
I think he had, what, 14 in the series?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. Numbers. I mean, well-deserving MVP, you know? I wasn't thinking anybody else. There was no other person. And going back to the, you know, getting Christian Javier, just changing mindsets in general. You know, we had such a rough go at Javier
as a team.
Yeah, the team getting Javier out in the first inning, man. I was like, this is amazing. But they changed their approach, you know, using the foam ball again so it stays on the same plane a little longer. You know, because it, you know, quote unquote, rising fastball, which of course you can't do that. But you know, staying on the same plane longer with the foam ball and keeping that top hand, really working on the top hand, getting on top of the baseball, really, helped them out this time. I feel like they probably had more time after they've seen him one time, right? And then they're going to see him a second time working on that foam ball again and probably really hammering that approach. So props to the hitting coach, props to Bochy, and props to everybody who went there and got him out in the first inning. I was not expecting that. Like, that was my big shocker to start the game, was getting him out in the first inning.
I know. I was hoping for a big Seager game, but I had no clue that Javier was only going to go 0.1 inning there. Like, mm-hmm. that was crazy.
It gave Dusty no choice, really.
No, he didn't.
Because we were just mashing him.
Game 7, you don't have a leash.
Like, yeah.
It's instant.
And, you know, Scherzer was actually doing much better in the grand scheme of things. I mean, he only pitched 2.2. And, you know, before the game, I think I messaged y'all about, you know, if Mad Max is rolling, he's probably not, you know, knowing Max, he's not going to want to come off. He's going to fight the heck out of Bochy. Like, he might fist fight him to come off the field. And he instantly gave the ball over to Bochy and said, all right. You know, I was kind of shocked a little bit. It's like, oh, he didn't really challenge Bochy to keep him on the field.
This year has changed my stance on baseball managers.
Yeah.
I used to think they were the least important
coach in sports.
I really didn't think, like a football coach felt like the most important, basketball coach second most, and then baseball coach third, just because these guys are pros. They play in baseball. There's not much you're going to – you don't run plays in baseball, you know. And a lot of the coaching you do is, like, in practices. But then seeing the turnaround from this team, just getting Bochy and, like, you're talking about there with Scherzer trusting him to take him out and, like, him working the bullpen masterfully and then moving Evan Carter. Every move he makes in the lineup seems to work and pay off. And it's just like – there's a reason this guy is so good at, like, he's brought three different, you know, franchises now to a World Series because he's just that good. And it's like the players respond to him. And, like, I know in the last podcast, Gage, you said getting Boach started this all. And I think I might agree with you in a lot of ways. Like, this season, like, I think in part of the way we were able to handle that Game 5 loss, that blown save, is because of how many blown saves we had during the season. You know, it was like this team was prepared for that because they had happened to them so many times. And it's like Boach steadied the ship. And that was one of the two things that they seemed to always talk about on the broadcast was, like, one, the Rangers losing it on the last game. And then two, how Bruce Bochy has been the steadying hand in this for this team. And I totally agree with that. And yeah, now we're going to the World Series and the Astros get to sit home and watch. We just did an oral history of the demise of the Astros. So I love it.
Yeah, no, best feeling ever, just because you have, I mean, bragging rights against the Astros for the whole next year, man. Like,
I was about to say, does it feel to y'all like we won the series that was more
important? It was like a mini Super Bowl to me.
Like, we're about to go to the World Series, but I almost had more weight on this series than I do on the World Series. Now, once the World Series starts, I feel like I won't be that way. But right now, I'm like, who cares? Like, we're already ahead of the you know, schedule.
Yeah. I mean, speaking on ahead of schedule, for me, like, I was only having wild card expectations. Like, that was, like, the height of, like, that would be amazing to me. And then now we're in the World Series, but two, like, that was a mini World Series to me to see the Astros go down to the Texas Rangers. Just because when they came over to our league, at first, and we were demolishing, and then they started demolishing when we started going down. Now we're kind of, you know, right at the top together, you know, here, and I feel like we're about to start surpassing them. But I mean, we beat them so bad in the last game. Dusty Baker quit. I mean,
he legitimately retired.
So we beat him so bad that Dusty said, I'm done. I'm not coming back anymore.
I got to say, I don't necessarily agree with you in the fact that it felt like the more important series. I think that I'd agree that it was huge and, like, that's great. Adolis owns their franchise now. But if we don't win the World Series, it's all for naught. Like, they still have two World Series, even if one of them's illegitimate.
Sure.
They have two, and we don't have one yet. So if we don't go win one, then I kind of feel like that series means nothing. Like it means something, but I'm sorry. I don't think it gives us any bragging rights because we don't have a World Series if we don't win this next series.
I feel like it's a stepping stone, to say the least. If we don't come out with a ring, I think that it's a stepping stone for next year because in hindsight, and this is completely different from y'all. Whenever back in, I think it was 1920, I was telling everybody, I was texting everybody that, you know, of course, all my college friends, I was like, hey, man, like 2024, maybe 2025, the latest, like, Rangers are going to be back on top. Like, I just feel it just because I saw the signings they were doing and the stuff in the on the back end and John Daniels at the time was doing. Like, I was really 2024. So, for me, I have a different perspective just because I set that bar for myself for the Rangers for 2024. But we're here in 2023. I'm already overjoyed with what we're doing. Just because, again, like what Brett said, we're ahead of schedule. But I agree.
But we're here now.
No,
we're
again, now, again.
Yeah, we gotta win this.
I'm with you on that.
We gotta win this thing.
I'm with you guys on that. I don't think it's this. Of course,
we were so close in 2011 to be one strike away twice. I can't do it. We gotta finish this game. Yeah. Like we gotta finish this. We gotta win the World Series. Yeah.
Which that's the only reason I'm saying I don't feel like we won the more important series yet.
Sure.
If we had a World Series, if we had other stuff to stand on,
season.
But they've been here 7 or 8 years in a row to the championship series. Like beating them there, I don't think that gives us any bragging rights yet. So
sure,
we got to go win one.
All I know is I'll feel good about this season because we beat the Astros.
I'll feel good about it, but I won't.
And if we win the World Series, it'll be one of those. It already is, but I think it'll be one of those like special seasons of like I'll look back on this every year for.
I mean, you can say that you watched the Rangers, the Texas Rangers, win their first ever World Series. You know, so
for sure. Well, do y'all want to talk about the Diamondbacks at all? Our opponent in the World Series.
Sure.
I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't have a lot to say about them. I only know about Corbin Carroll, Marte.
Yeah, Ketel Marte.
And then Gallen, their pitcher, their stud pitcher.
Yeah.
And then I watched the Game 7, so I know about. Shoot, I forgot his name. I'm butchering it. Fott, is that what it is?
Oh yeah, Fadt, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? There's a PF. Like, just take the P out. What are we doing?
You know, got to be a little fancy with it. But yeah, they have some good pitching. They got Merrill Kelly as their other starter.
Yep.
Who gave them a masterpiece of a game during the Phillies series. But I think this matchup, something to watch is they. For some reason, they didn't want to steal on Realmuto at the beginning of their series with the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of threw off their whole, like, game. Like, that's just not how they play. They steal bases. They play small ball. It's very different than what we do because we like to use the long ball to score. And we can hit people around, but, like, they bunted twice on one of the relievers for the Phillies, and it worked. They scored runs in that inning, and they'll just play a lot different style than us. They have a lot of speed on the bases, and I don't know. It'll be a lot different than what we've been seeing.
Yeah, for me, I'm gonna say that it's gonna be a dogfight just because I feel like they're almost not two identical teams, but in the way that their season has gone and kind of where they've came from to where they are now, like it's a big. A lot of momentum on each side, and they've had to go from the wild card. I think they're winning. Their records were almost identical throughout the postseason too. And so I think it's going to be a dogfight just because each team has had to overcome so many battles to get here. I feel like it's going to be kind of one of those things, like either team's not going to get down. And kind of ironic that Jeff Bannister is on the bench, for the Diamondbacks. He is their bench coach. And so kind of funny, but, no, pitching's pretty good for them. They have, Ryan Nelson, the fat guy, however you say his name, Paul Sewald, who was a Mariner who went over to, who was traded the trade deadline, Zach Gallen, who's Slayton game one, Kelly. But my other guy that I'm looking for is that Ginkle guy. He's been shelling. I've been watching him against the Phillies, and the Ginkle guy's been shelling, man, out of the bullpen. Big guys to watch for. I think that Marte and, of course, Carroll, he's like their, you know, franchise, face of the franchise guy right now. Gurriel. And then, of course, Longoria being that veteran guy in the clubhouse. Another guy I kind of want to watch out for is the Alec Thomas guy. I kind of like the way he plays in center field, and the kind of, you know, his attributes to kind of help out with Corbin Carroll. The speed's there, defense is there, he's got a little pop. So I kind of like the Alec Thomas guy. And they also have Jordan Lawler. He's a younger guy you need to watch out for as well. He was a big up and coming prospect for them, and so I'd watch out for him. But I think their big three was Marte, Perdomo, and was it Carroll? I think it was that their big three versus us when they played them in the
no way.
I bet his iPad died,
probably. So
well, guys, thanks for joining, and hopefully we can celebrate a World Series here shortly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go Rangers, man. I can't believe they're in the World Series. I can't believe it. Oh, man. All right. Thank you all for listening, and go Rangers. See ya.
Adolis Garcia sends one the other way. That sends Carroll back. He's at the wall, and the legend grows. Adolis Garcia wins game.
What a player.